If you would, open your Bible to Acts chapter 27. We're going to continue and complete our teaching on faith in crisis. I want to focus on an area where it's so important that we use our faith in, and that is when we have hope taken away. All hope can be taken away. People are experiencing that now. We're hearing about people that are tired of being in a quarantine. They want to go back to work. And sometimes the possibilities don't look good for them about their business or their job. I understand. We're going to talk about how faith in God and how that works when you're in crisis, even when all hope is taken away. We're going to read about an account, a real account in Scripture, about the Apostle Paul. He was a man who was very boldly used by Jesus Christ to spread the gospel, primarily to the Gentiles. And so to the Jews, he was a traitor. And so they schemed to get him in trouble and really get him in jail. And every time he was on trial, he got out of it. Finally, he appealed to Caesar because he was a Roman citizen. He was born a Roman citizen, so he had rights. And so what the Jewish people did, because they didn't like him preach about Jesus, they were making up lies and so forth, and he just appealed to the higher court, to Caesar. But he had to go in a boat. So he got into a boat under the guard of a centurion and other prisoners because he was a prisoner now. The charge was that he was violating the Jewish law, but he was Jewish, and the Jewish law spoke about the Messiah. To him, no law was broken, but those people that did not like him, they felt that he was a false prophet and false teacher. So that was the conflict. So now he's on his way as a prisoner, please follow me, in a boat. You'll find out later, but it's over 200 men on the boat going to Rome, and now they set off to sail. As they did that, they began to experience a storm. We pick up the account here, how it began to be really tough. This wasn't like a nice cruise ship. These were smaller boats, but yet very dangerous. In fact, the seas are littered over there and also around the world of ships that have sunk behind storms. It still happens today at times. Smaller boats, they sink and people perish. That was what was going on. Let's pick up there, because your life may be in turmoil. Your life, your situation may be up and down like in tossing seas. Things not clear. I understand. So I'm sharing this not to make you feel bad or to get you confused, but help you, give you hope. Looking at the scriptures, you can follow the biblical pattern. This is how I look at it. I look at the Bible, I see what God does in people's lives. He's the same yesterday, the Bible says, today and forever. So if I do what the people did in the Bible and follow the biblical pattern, I'll get biblical results. Yeah. And I'm sure you want biblical results. That's why you tuned in. Pick up here at Acts chapter 27, verse 10. It says, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. Now, we're going to give you an opportunity, by the way, to have communion. So I trust you had an opportunity to get some items that you can take communion with us. If you don't have juice, I understand you can use water if you like, crackers, chips if you like, bread. You have an opportunity, because that's a time to, if you would, honor our Lord, but also a time for healing as well. But here Paul is on this ship, and he gets a word and really a perception. He perceives in his heart. And this is where we as believers in particular need to understand that sometimes God speaks to us through a perception. The Bible calls it also an inward witness. You just know something. You perceive. And so what he's saying, I perceive that this voyage would be a much hurt even of the ship. So he's encouraging the captain not to go. Don't go right now. But they didn't believe him. You're just a prisoner. Who are you to be listened to? They disregarded him. And so they took off. Verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than the things spoken by Paul. This is also very important. Maybe it's at your job. Maybe you're a younger person in the family. You don't have, you know, seniority in the household, if you would. But God has spoken to you. And now nobody's listening to you. Don't get mad. And you may say, they're putting my life in danger, too. I get it. You're on the boat. He's a prisoner. He can't run away. He can't swim if he has his feet and his hands tied in chains. So he's trusting God. Sometimes in our situations, we feel like we're able to solve the problem. We see what's going on, and God has shown us some things. I want to encourage you. Even in that situation, my friend, God can show up for you. Your hands may be tied, so to speak. God can show up for you. We're talking about faith in the midst of crisis. So the Lord will show you there is trouble ahead to prepare you, just like he did with the Apostle Paul. And this is important. The role of the Holy Spirit is very important. He will show us things to come. Everyone is not always in tune. And I can tell you, God speaks to all Christians. He speaks to us. But are we listening? And I'm sharing this with you because sometimes what you have to do is be able to be sensitive to him to get out of the trouble situation, to hear God, to hear God's instructions. This is also vital because we're just kind of looking at doing different things and not really sensitive to how God is speaking to us. Sometimes in early in the morning or late at night or maybe at a quiet time, maybe you're driving your car at a red light and you're just thinking and God starts talking to you. Always be sensitive to God speaking to you because you're going to need to hear instructions from God to overcome in times of crisis, especially when things, your back's against the wall, things are going bad, and all hope is taken away. That's a bad situation to be in. When all hope is taken away, please follow me. You'll see what God can do and what God has done for Paul, he'll do for you too, if you keep your faith in him. Look at verse 20. It says, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up. That's what it says in the New King James. In the King James, it says, taken away. I love the phrase, taken away. Yeah, one may give up hope, but this case, it was taken away. That's the role of the thief. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to steal your hope and faith in God, especially when there's trouble, when the storm's around you, things aren't going well, the news reports, people are getting sick and dying, all the constraints, all the limitations, storms, I get it. Guess what? God has a way for you, even when all hope is taken away. Let me also encourage you, because you experience all hope is taken away, maybe start talking that way. I don't know what to do. I get it. Don't stay there. Get a hold of yourself. I'm glad you tuned in. Take those words back. Nope, I do have hope. I have hope in Christ. I may not know what to do right now. I may not know how God's going to get me out of this, but Lord, I'm looking to you to get me out of this situation. Yes. As you start thinking that way, believing that way, based on biblical examples, scripture, and looking to God for your help, he will help you and he will speak to you. So the fate of everyone on the ship came down to one man's faith, and he was losing hope. Wow. Here was the Apostle Paul. In fact, he wrote most of the New Testament. He was a major leader in the kingdom, and he is on the boat, and nobody else is believing the Lord at all. No indication anybody else was praying or seeking God, just regular people. And yet, he was the one that was a man of faith, and he lost all hope too. Wow. That's how bad it was. So you may be a Christian, maybe a minister, maybe been a Christian for many years, a person that's in leadership in your church, and you got to a place or at a place now, you lost hope. Maybe your house is in jeopardy. Other things may be falling away. God understands. Don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. You need to do what we're going to talk about, what Paul did, because you need to hear from God. Hear from God, hearing God's personal instructions to our life and to our heart is so important. That's how we can navigate and follow the instructions to get out of trouble and thrive in life. We serve a God that can get us out of trouble, my friend. He's a helper and he's a deliverer. He's often referred to in Scripture as a deliverer. And he delivered Paul, he'll deliver you. Even when you lost hope, you can get it back. You can get it back. You see, you can bounce back from feeling hopeless. You just need a word of instruction from God and believe it. Let's look at verse 21. But after long abstinence, which means fasting, they were fasting, not just him, but the other men on the ship. But Paul was beginning to fast and pray. And this is another important aspect about when you lose all hope. You want to gain it back. How do you gain it back? Seek God for clarity and direction. What part do you need to play in this situation? There's your part, and then there's God's part. In crisis, there's your part, and there's always God's part. God knows his part already. He wants to give you your part, and your part only you can do. Yeah, I need to say that again. There's God's part, then there's our part. And God will do his part, but I have to do my part. So we working together with God, God can do what he wants to do in our lives. The Bible says we're workers together with God. We're talking about faith in crisis, especially when all hope is taken away. If you know someone that is that place right now, maybe through a phone call, text messaging, or email, you just happen to know the situation, encourage them and share this message with them, because they need to be encouraged, but there's something they have to do. And he was seeking God for direction. After long abstinence here in verse 21, from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. That's right. Sometimes you say, you should have listened to me. I get it. But don't beat them up on the head. Just give them what God is saying now. He said, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. What had happened, the ship had begun to kind of have problems, and he realized it's about to go under. And so Paul begins to encourage them. And he says here in verse 22, now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life. Say no loss of life. No loss of life. Wow. Among you, but only of the ship. You know, there was the account of the Apollo 13. I like to watch the NASA television station, and they were kind of reviewing that account. And the actual men who went up in space, whose lives were in danger, they're way up in space, thousands of miles above the Earth, and now they're stuck. Wow. You know what? Somehow there was a problem. There was kind of an explosion there, and they had to figure it out between the men and women down on the ground, and also the men in the capsule, space capsule, how to figure out how to get back. It was touch and go, all hope. And the account is that people began to pray on Earth. The president asked for a time of prayer. The Pope asked for a time of prayer. The Jewish people were praying for them to get home, get back safely at the Wailing Wall. And I'm sure many Christians around the country and around the world were praying for them. And they figured it out, and they came back home safely. They never did get to the moon on that voyage. That was something where all hope, I'm sure, was taken away. And they began to see ways how to fix and adjust and make things work with what they already had on the ship. Something they didn't have a manual for. Something they never tested for. Something they never foreseen a possibility for. That's the kind of God we serve, you all. So we look at the biblical account, we see that as he began to seek God for direction, time of fasting and prayer is important, because sometimes we go with life as normal, and now you've lost hope. You want to eat a lot of extra food. You want to watch a lot of television. You're not seeking God for direction. You're sleepy. You're full on the telephone talking about how bad it is and telling all your problems. No, you want to seek God. Get into the Word. Pray, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me, Lord God. Speak to me, Lord God. I'm open. And let God speak to you out of his Word or still small voice. You need to follow his instructions. That's what I'm getting at. When you're in crisis and all hope is taken away, you need to get instructions from the Lord. So it says here, but after long abstinence in verse 21, from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there should be no loss of life among you, but among the ship. For there stood by me, I love this piece, there stood by me, no, right next to him, stood by me this night an angel of the Lord to whom I belong and whom I serve. Now, to whom I belong, you say, well, what's that about? See, when you become a Christian, angels are assigned to you. They're called guardian angels. They're assigned to you. And when you're, so you need to understand, recognize angels are there to protect to prosper your way, to deliver you, and they're big and strong. They're not like the little Christmas angels, little dainty angels. No, no, no. God's angels are big and strong. They're mighty and mighty in battle. And they'll fight for you and protect you. Yes. And so God sent his angel. Now, he may speak to you a number of ways. He can use angels or he can speak to your heart. My point is, however God decides to talk to you, receive it, okay? But you need to see God talk, Lord. I need some answers. I need direction. I recall my wife when we were courting, and there was some concern about whether I was her husband or not. And she was a little bothered by it and thinking about it, and so she began to see God, and she was at the airport waiting for her mom, and she started reading the Bible and opened the Bible, and she had heard a person that talked to her indicated that I'm not her husband, I'm not the one for her, that kind of language. And so she was a little just thinking differently. Well, what's going on? I mean, she need to hear from God. And well, make a long story short, God spoke to her out of the Word. It's powerful. God gave her scripture out of the Word. And she said, that's my answer. Guess what? We've been married almost 45 years this in November this year. Oh, yes. Yes. When you get your answer from God, you can stand. You can close the book. It's done. I got my answer now. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says here in verse 23, and there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. Now, wait a minute. It's storming right now. In fact, one part, I didn't read every verse in this chapter, but it's like it went on for about 14 days, and there was a time when there was no sun and no moon. That's how bad it was. It was so dark that you couldn't see the sun nor the moon. That's how bad it was. You know, the moon and stars and the sun was there, but it was so stormy and the clouds above them were so strong and dark that they couldn't see the sun during the day, couldn't see the moon during the night. That's what we're talking about. That's dark. And they're in the water in the ocean and it's storming. I get it. I would have lost hope probably too. And you're in chains, can't swim like that. But God has an answer. See, it may look like, you may not look like, how that's going to work? How would I get out of this? God has an answer for you, my friend. He has an answer. Never think God don't have his eyes on you. He is waiting for us to call on him, to seek him. Bible says many, many times, if you seek him, he will be found. If you seek him, he will be found. It says in verse 23, and there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I serve and whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. This is important. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So God had gave him these men also on the boat, their lives, because Paul was about God's purpose. He had to get to Rome to connect with Caesar, because that was part of his purpose when he was called. He would preach to the Gentiles and to kings. Well, he did speak to King Agrippa and other kings, but now he did speak to Caesar. You know, this is why just about every president, if they allow it, they have ministers that they open their heart and their heart up to, and they're like advisors. God wants to speak to kings and presidents and prime ministers, and he'll warn them. To give them a word of exhortation. They didn't know about the gospel. That's what God is up to. That's his pattern. So he did it to King Agrippa, and King Agrippa said, you about to make me a Christian. He was so convincing. Now he's sending him to Caesar. Yes, he's on trial, but in God's mind, he's going to preach the gospel to him. Yes, yes, yes. You see, when you're about your father's business, not just only to have a job, have income, but wherever you go, you're going to be a light. Wherever you go, you let Jesus shine bright. Use your intelligence. Use your abilities. Yes, do a good job in your careers and your businesses. But you're going to give God glory for all the things he does in your life. You're not going to be ashamed of him. Then God says, I can use that man. Use that woman. I'm going to make a way because they're about my purpose. So God was using Paul to fulfill his purpose. And when he does that, he's going to save Paul. My question is, will he save everybody else? Well, if they follow the instructions like Paul gave them, they'll be saved too. You see, your faith in crisis can rescue everyone in the boat with you. Yeah. Sometimes the whole boat's about to come apart, the whole business about to come apart, the whole office, whole company, whole country. Somebody in the boat got to believe God. If anybody in the boat going to be saved. So God used work through Paul, even though he was rocky for him as well. So later, as they began to travel to Rome, they got to a place where it got stuck, and men were trying to get off the boat. And Paul warned them not to do that, is what he says in verse 31. It says, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. My point here and what God is saying and illustrating to us is the importance in following all of God's instructions. God is very detailed. That's why the Bible is so important. What he says is important. What he puts in, what he leaves out is important. He knows what he's thinking. He knows his plan. And so he wanted all these men to be saved. But Paul said if they start sneaking off the boat, if you want to be saved, you got to stay on the boat. Don't you get off the boat, you're not going to be saved. Now, notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, he didn't say, we're not going to be saved. He didn't say that. Oh, yeah. Paul could have been selfish. He said, God, these guys are crazy. They won't follow instructions. Just get me out of here and they can die. No. He warned them, if you don't stay on the boat with the instructions of the Lord that he gave me, you cannot be saved. He did not say, we cannot be saved, or I won't be saved. Some of them would be dead if they would have got off the boat. And so they stayed on the boat. So it says here in verse 31, and Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Wow. Instructions are huge. Where you should go, what school your children should go to. Even if you say, Johnny, you're not going to school today. Maybe you have something in your spirit. We shouldn't go to school, shouldn't go here, shouldn't go there. And you don't have no reason just to know that God is saying to you, it's not fear, it's a sense of knowing. Sometimes it's just knowing. I shouldn't go. God is speaking to me. Don't go. Stay home. You don't know why. And then when you do follow the instructions, you realize it was to your advantage that you did that. It kept you out of trouble, gave you a situation to open a door possibly, but you realize it was God that spoke to you. It's not the lesson, but we'll get into it later on this year or next year. We'll talk about the area of being led by the Spirit of God. I may take time on Bible study to teach it because it's important that we just get regrounded in hearing God. In this crisis situation, we need to hear God, y'all. We need to hear God very clearly. And we need to know we heard God. You ought to be saying, I heard God. God spoke to me. Yeah. Now, don't say that if God didn't speak to you. This is why we have to learn God's ways of how he speaks to us and leads us. And then when he speaks to us, we can follow him with confidence. And then it says in verse 36, then they were all encouraged and also took food for themselves. Verse 37, and in all we were 276 men. Wow. On the ship. That's a lot of people. 276 men. They all got free. They all got saved. They all got to Rome. Wow. 14 days, can't see the sun, can't see the moon. All hope is taken away. And how did they get there free? Guess what? God spoke to his man of God. If it was a lady of God, he would have spoke to his woman of God. But he spoke to Paul, and he said, and before that, all hope was taken away. And because of the following instructions of God, they all got delivered and free. That could be a town. That could be a floor where you work. Could be an office. Could be a company. It could be your city. It could be your nation. If we follow God's instructions, we all can be saved. Then it says in verse 37, and in all were 276 persons on the ship. Wow. In verse 44, another confirmation. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. When you say why ship, because what happened, they kind of grounded. They went to a place and they got grounded and the ship broke up and some of them couldn't swim, so they got on pieces of board. He said, get some boards. You can swim, you swim over there. But you, those who can't swim, get some boards and kind of paddle your way and kind of get over there, because that board will kind of keep you afloat. That's how. And all 276 of them were saved. Wow. Wow. They didn't have the technology we have today. All hope was taken away. And guess what? God came through for them. I want to encourage us about to take communion. Communion is an opportunity to remember the words of Jesus. It's an opportunity to be reminded, because Jesus would have us to not forget. And he says, as often as we take this bread and eat this cup, we'll show the Lord's death till he comes. He died. He shed his blood for us. And I want you to understand that this is not just religious tradition, even though it is one. We do it because it's an actual remembrance and reminding ourselves what he did for us is still for us today. The Bible says about his body, he was wounded and bruised for you. He was beat for you. He died on a cross for you. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, our sins. And by his stripes, all 49 of them on his back, by his stripes, we were healed. It was done before we were even born, my friend. In other words, he provided for our healing way before we would come on this earth. That's how wonderful God is. And it's still available. It's like having an endowment, my friend. There's some organizations that have very large endowments, hundreds of millions of dollars. They'll always have money for their college and for their school, because they planned years ago. Well, God's endowment, if you would, is in the blood of Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. And it's growing and strong, and it's just as strong as it was when he made a sacrifice for us. That means you can receive your healing right now. Right now. As we take, break, and eat, and receive your healing in your body right now. Let's eat. Then he said, this is the cup, the New Testament in my blood. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. You see, when we sin, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's an opportunity to ask God to forgive you of any sin in your life. Confess it. It means you acknowledge it. Yeah, you were wrong. You didn't do right. You say, Lord, forgive me. And then you take of the blood, and his blood will wipe away all your sin. Even as you may sin again, he'll forgive you when you ask God to forgive you. Yes. He wants you to always have nothing in the way between you and God. Even in your consciousness. He don't want you to become sin conscious. He wants you to become Christ conscious. Let's take and drink. I love it. So as the music is played about the blood, just sit there where you are, if you would, and just enjoy. Allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. Think about what you're dealing with right now and how God either has or will provide a way for you out of that situation, that he has help for you, that he has direction for you, instructions for you. He will talk to children. He'll talk to older person. He's not limited. God is talking. Really, the question is, are we listening? But I believe you're going to start listening even more. Likewise, myself as well. I purpose to be more attentive to God speaking to me in every area of my life. Not just about the church as a pastor or bishop, but also about my wife, my children, people in general. So let God just minister to you right now as you just sit there and let God minister to you. He's wonderful, my friend. He's your healer. Say this. Thank you, Father, for healing me. Jesus, you're my healer. You're my deliverer. I thank you for healing my body, healing my mind. Thank you. Yes.
And that same love.
Yes, Lord God.
Dries all of my tears.
Yes, you may cry, but it's okay. You'll dry your tears. The blood
that gives me strength.
Yes.
From day to day, it will never.
Yes, Lord God.
Lose its power.
Never lose its power.
Oh, I'm glad.
It reaches
to the highest mountain.
Yes, it does.
And it flows.
Yes, it flows.
To the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never
now, as we close, my friend, I would like to give you an opportunity
to
receive Christ. You see, he's just as with you where you are as he is here with me. There's no distance in how God can operate and minister to us between one another. If you're ready to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the time to do it, because you want to put your hope in Christ. And when you put your hope in Christ, the Son of the living God, then faith in him will now draw God to respond to you. Even asking him for help, for clarity, for direction. We need first to be part of his family. You see, we can come boldly, the Bible says, to the throne of grace, because we're believers, we're part of the family. It's our inheritance. We're really children of the living God. We can come to him, and he wants to respond to us. But if we're not part of the family, the Bible says God's ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. We're made righteous through Christ. If you're not there yet, repeat after me. If you'd like to recommit your life to Christ, repeat after me. Dear Father God, I come to you just as I am. I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is now my Lord and Savior. Say it again. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is now my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. Thank you, Father, for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for speaking to me by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did that in earnest, you're saved. You're part of the family of God. I want to encourage you to, in just the best way you know how, begin to read the Bible starting the New Testament. If you already were a Christian but recommitted your life to Christ and get more serious about your walk, start reading your Bible more, starting the New Testament, probably in the Gospels, and move forward in epistles. Find your local good church. Contact us on a website. We'd like to respond to you and to give you an opportunity to help you grow. Give you some information, see a video we can share with you about, help you grow and about your identity in Christ and knowing your identity in Christ. That's important and a place to begin. We can help you, my friend. Connect you to our church. We have life groups in our church, different types of groups. You can learn more about that online. So I want to encourage you. Be excited. This is a new season for you. And guess what? Again, no matter what crisis you're dealing with, you can find faith and hope when you follow God's instructions to overcome any crisis, any situation you face. So be encouraged, my friend. I love you, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.